Welcome back to the Bridge Between podcast. Hey. We are back with a special guest who we'll introduce in a little bit. Just want to say thank you to everyone that's been watching, listening, commenting, subscribing, sharing, all that good stuff. We love you. We appreciate you so, so, so much. And if you want to continue to support us and keep the episodes coming and the fun flowing, you can buy us a coffee at www.buymeacoffee.com/bridgebetween. And if you're watching, thank you for watching. And if you're listening, continue to listen to us on our audio platforms. We are on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podchaser, all of the things, okay? So just check us out. The links will all be in the description too, below. And we have a special channeled reading from Erica.
Hey.
Woo-hoo. So what happened was I forgot my cards. So we're just going to go with it. And actually, I received the channel message in the car on the way here. I was seeing bread and butter. And so for me, what I'm feeling that's talking about is just in terms of how something so simple can create like produce amazing things. So because we were actually just talking about this outside, how human beings, we kind of complicate things a lot. And so when I think of bread and butter, it's so it's such like a little simple quick meal, but it's so comforting. It's a good good pair, like it goes well together. Yeah, it's filling, it fills you up. So
it's warm.
For whoever is hearing this, if you're trying to either create more abundance, whatever that means to you, because that could be different things, if you're trying to get something flowing, get something going, it's not as complicated as you're probably making it in your head right now. It's probably just even if it's the simple task of doing one thing that you can a day to like take a step there, you know, one step at a time, and eventually you get to enjoy that little snack, you know what I mean? So that was
all the snacks,
all the snacks. Yes. So and then you can, you know, pair other things with it. So I think this is a message that whoever has been like in that worry mode, that poverty mindset, that lack mindset, like your bread and butter is coming, you'll be nurtured, you'll have sustenance.
Speak on it.
But it takes the simple changes. It's going to take removing some of the complications and distractions from your life. Like you would be so surprised how something as what you may never realize how like, let's say you have a friendship group and like their life is chaotic, how even just taking space, even if you're not ready to like fully end a friendship or something, taking space from that world, something as simple to simplify your life, basically simplify your life, you'll start to see how the abundance will start flowing in when you're no longer surrounded with that chaotic energy, which also gets into your head, which then also overcomplicates your goals and how to get there. So the bread and butter's coming. Now I'm hungry also. But that's the channel message that was coming through in the car on the way here today.
Let's make bread this weekend.
That sounds yummy.
Bread. I've always wanted to do that. Homemade bread.
You've never done bread before?
I've never done bread before.
I've done a lot. Rosemary garlic bread. Roasted garlic. With rosemary?
Yes. And like roast.
I'm going to make that
roast the
this
garlic,
weekend.
Smash
yeah.
It up.
It's like a whole 3 hour, 4 hour thing.
I'm here for it. I love it. Yeah. Yeah. I love cooking. Good. But today, guys, we have a super special guest. Can you tell the people what your name is? So that way I don't, you know, butcher you and I want to do you justice. So your name is Fully.
Of course. So my full name is Sylvain Pierre Lecue.
Yes.
But you can always say Sylvain because I also like Sylvain. I really do.
Sylvain.
Yeah, but my parents, they're like, Sylvain.
You know, yeah, Sylvain.
Yeah, Sylvain Pierre. Sylvain.
Yes, the wood is Sylvain.
But yeah, absolutely. Sylvain Pierre Lecue is my full name.
Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah, your absolutely. Camera's over there, by the way.
Oh. Yeah, you're right over
just
here.
Just in case.
Sylvain Pierre Lecue is my full name.
This is our lovely special guest.
Oh, yeah,
show the people your jacket. For everyone that's listening to us on Spotify and everything, he's wearing this super dope Hey Arnold jacket. So shout out to all my Hey Arnold fans.
Absolutely. It's the members only collaboration with Hey
members
Arnold.
Members only.
Yeah, I've been on a huge Hey Arnold kick. Like I told you guys before. Yeah.
Yes.
Nostalgia.
Let's watch that this weekend.
Yes.
Nostalgia. It's incredible.
But Sylvain is an amazing songwriter, a rapper, producer, all around extraordinaire. That was the word I was looking for. I was like extraordinaire, okay? And he's got some great music videos on YouTube. Please check out his YouTube. We'll definitely have that linked below. He's got some great videos. Like, the cinematography of them are great. I really love, for someone that is like, we just met, you have such a great, like, creative vision with your music videos. Cause I don't know, music videos nowadays, they're getting lazy. Like, it's so lazy. Like, it's repetitive, same type of deal. And we respect the art and we respect the vision. And we wanted to give Sylvan a place to share the vision with y'all.
Oh, thank y'all. For real, I really appreciate the opportunity.
And I brought Sylvan on because I met Sylvan like 2 years ago in LA.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it was like one of the few moments where like he saw me, like he saw me, but like what I was saying. Yeah. And then he was just like, what do you know about the Akashic Records? And then we just started talking about like a lot of cosmic
shit. What you know about the Akashic Records?
And he was like, I'm gonna come back. We need to talk. And I'm like, all right. And then every time he would pass by to go to the studio, he would come through the kitchen. And he'd be like, what's up? And then we'll spend like 10, 20 minutes talking. And then he would go to the studio and like record. But I think my it was so lovely to have that conversation where you see like the inner child spark in him that he carries, and I could see that in your music, and I could see that like just in your creativity, how unique you are. Because I think like in order to really stand out in your artwork, you need to be able to tap into your inner child joy and their inner child light. So you have that.
Thank you.
Yeah, but you've done a lot of work on yourself too. Like I know you're in like a really huge healing journey and going through childhood trauma and like how you grew up. So maybe tell us a little bit about like how music has shifted your life, because I feel like in the last 2 years since I've met you, you've like there's been a shift in even how you even how you present yourself as a musician now.
Right. Absolutely. The past 2 to 3 years have been like definitely like dark night of the soul-ish, like an extended one.
Extended. Like a very like
a long
you know
stint.
Like a very long stint. That I feel like the past 3-4 months I'm like finally starting to see like the
you made it out the trenches.
Yeah, absolutely. But like music, I mean music for me started early. I think like it really started with writing. So 7 years old was when I really started picking up writing verses or like poetry, or I really was into storytelling. So I would tell like I would write comics and try to illustrate as best as I can. My drawing was kind of meh. But, you know, I got enough as I could to get it across. And that kind of transferred into music seamlessly. Like rap was just cool. It was so cool. And to be able to express yourself so authentically, like I really gravitated towards that. And I think like Nas, listening to Nas around 11 years old and just hearing like a perspective that was a little bit deeper than I understood just really pulled at me.
Yeah.
And he's that's another Virgo, too. That's
I mean, he is a Virgo.
Nas? Yeah, Nas is a Virgo. Yeah, that's why I was like, you would love Virgie storytelling.
Oh, I love storytellers.
Yeah, he's a Virgie Virgo.
Yes.
And so I was...
Virgo.
Yeah, like the Virgo. Virgie is a Virgo.
Yes,
he really is. And that kind of just led me to, okay, let me take a little bit of a deeper step into my lyricism, try to create a perspective. I always really was innately attracted to like how life worked. Or just like different perspectives, because like a perspective change always made me feel better, you know, than just kind of dealing with reality as it was. And so, yeah, I feel like I don't really know where my life was headed before I found music. I just understood that you could make money from it. And so I was like, yeah, this is a career choice. And I don't think I really received a lot of backlash from it. I mean, of course, there were a couple people like, you know, what are you going to do? We are rappers. Like, but that didn't really affect me. So I'm like, yo, Hov is like really rich. I don't really understand where all this is coming from. And so that became, I mean, that honestly like took over. I became obsessed by the time I was 15. Like I was in, I would go to school, go to work, go to the studio, get 3 hours of sleep, go to school, work, studio. Then it became school and then became the studio and work. And that's what I decided I was going to do. By the time I got out of high school, I didn't go to college. I was just like, I already know this isn't, I'm not going to have the patience to deal with this. And I'd rather take a chance now. And that became my journey. It's like, how can I become successful as a professional recording artist? Yeah.
I have 2 questions for you. The first, because you already mentioned Nas. So the first question is, who else inspired you musically? And then the second would be, because you mentioned how like music makes you rich and like a society where it's all about just money and the facade of success. Like, how does music still heal you even in like today's society where it's like more so like brainwashing a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Like, so I just wanted to hear your thoughts on those things.
Absolutely. So influences early on were like, you know, what everybody else listened to was like Bow Wow, Ja Rule, like the top 40. I was really a big Ja Rule fan. Ja Rule. Still am. Like when the whole 50 Cent thing happened.
Oh, oh man, wow. That's crazy.
It was a tough time for the kids.
It was.
Like I came to school one day and it was a rap. Yeah. But like Nas, and then Mos Def, Talib Kweli,
yes.
Common. Mm-hmm. Like I started, I think once I got the bug, it was like, oh, what else is there? And then I started, you know, it became like Lauryn Hill. And, you know, Jay-Z was around, but I didn't become a super Jay-Z fan until I was 16 and I found Reasonable Doubt. And then I was able to, like, see this guy with this perspective of, like, innately going through these harsh conditions and then trying to find a way out. Mm-hmm. But, like, it was really, like, underground. But the guy who really, I really liked Kanye from a musical standpoint, but the guy who really did it for me where it was like, oh, this is who I want to be like, was Lupe Fiasco.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That was the guy where it was like, because the perspective was so pure. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It was like, wow, this guy really wants to see like a betterment and an enhancement of the mind and of the perspective of people. And he's so cool. It wasn't like, it wasn't like Talib sometimes, you know, no disrespect to Talib.
We love him.
You know what I mean? Like, come on, you know, like, you know what I mean? Reflection eternal. But like, it would be certain times where I would be like, I feel like I'm being beaten over the head with a message. Mm. Common was great, but he was kind of like a grandfather to me. And I really, and I still love that about him. Like he's in my top five. Like he's probably number 4 or 5, but Lupe felt like me, like the 16-year-old kid that liked anime.
Kick push and all that.
Kick push.
Yeah.
And Paris had Tokyo. Like this perspective or whatnot, you know, where, you know, he was talking about things that, that I even didn't understand. And so I think that is what kind of, that gave me the confidence to continue to travel down the path of being like an MC with something to say. And of course I still was like attracted to like all the like perks that came with it. And you know, I come from the greatest of all time era. So everybody's like, nah, I'm the greatest.
You know? I'm the goal.
Lil Wayne, I'm the best rapper alive. Jay-Z, I retired, but I'm still the best. Yeah. So that was the whole...
Confused.
Yeah, that imprinted on me really early. So I think that's actually always been a conflict with me because music was healing. And then once that idea kind of got implanted on me, and then, you know, the second wave of like the Drakes, Kendricks, and was even furthered, it became more about that at a certain point for me than being like completely immersed in just the message. I still held on to it, but that definitely was like imprinted onto me, you know? So music has always kind of been like the ground zero. I always feel like, especially right now, it's the one thing, it's one of the few things that like when I'm in a studio and it's the pen and a pad, like I have a chance to really dig into a certain perspective. And I can really like find a place to find clarity about what I'm going through to this day. So I try to hold on to that as much as I can. You know what I mean? Like I'm actually coming back to it a little bit firmer this time around.
Yeah, that's probably why you went through the dark night of the soul. You're like,
I want to know more about
Let's
that.
Let's go back.
Yeah. I want to talk about shadow work.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I have a quick question, too. I'm like, wait. So how does your creative process work? Do you see the words first? Or does the words come to you first? Or is it the beat that comes to you first? Like, or is it like, I got something to say and then I'm going to build a beat around it? Or how does your creative process work when you create music?
So before I started producing, it would be like, it would start with the beats. And then, you know, I would sit with records forever and I would hum some melodies. And then I'd think about what do I really want to come with? What do I really want to say? It usually always starts with what do I want to say?
Yeah.
Like I have to kind of get that, you know, going first.
100%.
The message is always first.
Yes.
Yeah, 100%. And then I'll start humming and I'll try to get like a hook going. I'll try to get a perspective going. And then it's like, all right, let's get into like the nitty gritty. How do you pencil this together? Except for Young Sylvan. Young Sylvan, those EPs were like very visceral. It was like it was just all emotion. Yeah, it was a very visceral
experience.
Yeah, it was like it was like a purging for me.
Yeah. I was about to say, because as a Virgo, like, I like to freestyle sometimes with my friends and stuff, and I feel like I can't do it unless I have something to say. I'm like, I have to have something to say. Like, my grandpa will inspire me also talking about him. And yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so I completely feel you, like, having to need to have a message and inspiration.
Yeah, absolutely. All my favorite artists do. Mm-hmm. You know, all the guys that I look up to, or, and the gals, honestly, that I look up to, they all have something that's in the forefront. So I always wanted to be that person. Plus, mm-hmm. that music saved my life. Mm-hmm. Like, those perspectives and those shifts when I was going through, like, situations that I just couldn't understand. Mm-hmm. Like, that was the comfort, you know?
Yeah.
Straight up.
So what triggered this, like, night of the soul awareness that was shifting in you?
Around 2018, I was fresh off this project called Apologies in Advance. Mm-hmm. And... you know, all the things that were that I had been working up until that point for the past 2 years, but also like my life, were coming into fruition. Mm. And so one of those things were like signing to The Rock. Mm. And so all of a sudden, like I mean, this is something I manifested like 3 years prior, 2015. I had a meeting with Lenny S, and he was just like, "Yo, you're dope, kid. You know, you're nice. You know what I mean? But you ain't hot in these streets." I'm like, "I feel you. Like, it's real. Like, I'm really not hot in these streets." And then I got hot enough to where I was on the radar. And, you know, Jay-Z is my favorite rapper, still is my favorite rapper, just from a technical standpoint, you know, and just getting better. So I was in this space where it's like, oh, all these things that I was working towards is coming to fruition. Mm-hmm. And I said, no. So, like, I had a contract in front of me. I was like, oh, this doesn't work for me. And I said no, ultimately. Mm-hmm. And I know my higher self was guiding me, but, like, my current self just couldn't understand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, the, like, inner child in me was just, like, brokenhearted.
Yeah.
So it was really just, like, this conflict. Then I had to go on tour. And around that time, like, I realized around a lot of the people that I was working with didn't understand tour. So I was really struggling. I lost a lot of money on that tour. Lost a lot of friendships, like 10, 15 year friendships. Mm. Like, people that I would have done anything for. It was like, this is done. Mm-hmm. And so my grandmother also passed that year, like earlier. So I wasn't really dealing with it. I was also smoking a lot. I wasn't drinking a lot. I was definitely smoking a lot.
You're in a cloud.
Yeah, man. I was just, and
you're,
you know,
working right through it.
Yeah, man.
Self-medicating, I should say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And doing like 7 to 8 different jobs.
Mm.
And just all of that, when I came off of the road, it was like I collapsed, you know, because I realized up until that point that everything I'd been doing was like this fruition of this manifestation. Since I was a kid, I mean, well, teenager, really. You know, what started off as innocent then became like this mission and this goal and this journey. And it's like I had achieved it to a certain extent. And then I said no to like the one thing I thought was like everything.
Yeah.
So, you know, I collapsed. You know, I stayed in a room, smoked weed, like had sex, didn't do anything, like ate bad, didn't answer my phone, fired everybody. And that's where it started. You know what I mean? That's when it really began. Yeah.
That makes me think of, did you see the movie Soul?
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. Great movie.
Was, I was gonna say, that's exactly what it reminded me of too.
Yeah, it's like when you lose that part of why you started it in the first place, or why you loved what you were doing in the first place, and then it just becomes about that end goal, right? Like the being on the stage or whatever it is, and then you've lost that sense of purpose in it, and then you get it and you're like, this is it? Like, you know, like, this is it? So I feel like that had to happen because you're coming back to that purposeful part now, which is, I think, what's going to take you to that next level, get to your bread and butter, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that message really resonated with me, actually.
Yeah.
So that's where it started. And then kind of started, went on a cleanse for like 20 days. It was like a hardcore cleanse just to kind of like feel better. So I was like, all right, you know, I need to, I always say, like, if you're in a hole, you're going to start somewhere and you're trying to get out of it, like, start by feeling better, like physically, like at least you can kind of, you know, you can't really stand a chance if like physically you feel terrible. You know what I mean? Like mentally, so you could probably you could still get up, you know, if you're feeling all right, but physically, like, it's a wrap.
Yeah, so
kind of, you know, I was chilling out on smoking for a little bit, and I started meditating more, just like randomly, but not randomly because obviously being guided. Mm-hmm. And that's when I think I went on tour in Europe, came back, and that's when I started like trying to be a little bit more inquisitive about myself and the things that were going on with me. And then this journey has really been about, I think the biggest lesson for me has been grounding, because I realized that I had a lot of confidence and a lot of freedom very early on. Like I was allowed to do a lot. Like my mother wasn't really someone who was disencouraging, mm-hmm. but she also wasn't someone who was gonna knock me down. She was just like, yo, stay out of jail. Don't bring any kids here and don't be smoking no dope while I'm around you. You know what I mean? You follow those lines, do whatever you want. I don't care. Just stay out of trouble. Mm-hmm. So I was able to like explore and like do whatever I wanted and figure out what I liked early on without any drawback. It wasn't necessarily encouragement, but I wasn't disencouraged either. Mm-hmm. So I realized with that amount of confidence and that amount of freedom to explore and to dream that like I wasn't doing the necessary things for myself, taking care of myself on a day-to-day, making sure that I was fine, supporting myself, putting myself first. Like very like all the things I was preaching about in my music, I was lacking in my personal life. Mm-hmm. And so like grounding, even to this day, is still like my forefront, and realizing that those minuscule things, quote unquote, mm-hmm. you know, are the root to your truth and like your branches, yes. being able to like being able to do all yes. things you really want to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's been a journey I've been on, and it's, you know, ebbs and flows, ups and downs, good days, bad days, meh days, mm-hmm. but I'm really grateful for everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really am.
Yeah.
Hey man, you got to.
It's self-love.
Because mm-hmm. it's free will.
Yeah, absolutely.
You don't have to show up, but what motivates you to show up then?
I guess I would say God, but the answer is like, I innately know I'm supposed to be doing something here. Mm-hmm. Like there's
in this existence, in this plane, in this time,
there's something I'm here to do. I've always known it. Mm. I may not have been as clear about it as I felt like I should be. I think there's like been a lot of doubt, but I know I'm here to do something. Even when I'm like down and I'm tired, like, and I'm exhausted, I know innately there's something here I'm here to do. And I need to do it. Mm-hmm. And I've always had that in me. Like mm-hmm. As a kid, I've felt it. It's like a spark. I can't even be like, I'm here to save this, or I'm here to, you know, lead this into, but I know there's something I'm here to do. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what keeps me getting up. Mm-hmm. Like, all right, bro, like, yeah. like let's just keep pushing, like good days, bad days. Yeah. I'm very much like into that. Mm-hmm. I can't lie that is what I feel motivated most by, that I'm here to do something.
Yeah. Maybe it is to just be a storyteller too, because that's so important. Like mm-hmm. we forget how important storytelling is to us, even from people who come from like oral traditions of mm-hmm. stories that taught us things, you know what I mean? Like legends and all of that. So even though you're telling your story, there's somebody out there that's going to relate to it and take something from it and learn and grow. So
yeah,
maybe even it's just to live your life, to tell your story, because somebody's going to relate to it.
Yeah.
And have fun while you do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just be. And play.
Just yeah. to be Sylvain.
Yes.
Just that's what you hear. Like, you're good to be that.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah, I receive all of that.
Yeah. And the highest version of that.
Absolutely.
So you said that you're coming out of this dark night of the soul.
Yeah.
And you're on your way up. How did that feel, kind of recognizing that, like, hey, I was going through it and like I'm on my way out? Because I feel like a lot of people that go through the dark night and they kind of get attached to it. They almost don't want to come out of it.
Yeah.
So how did it feel like recognizing like, yo, like I'm on the come up, like I'm getting out of this? How's that feel? Or like, describe it if you could.
It's still a little scary, to be honest. You know, I've been through rough patches before, you know. But there's always like the promise of like, all right, things are gonna get better. Like this dark night of the soul wasn't really about survival. It was about like, I mean, it was about survival, but like on the surface of everything, like things were cool. Mm-hmm. So it was really like an internal thing, like fears, like emotions, like, you know, like realizing like there's certain things I'm afraid of. Mm-hmm. There's certain things that I don't know if I want to face again, like truths that like I had to really accept and move past. Mm-hmm. And then asking myself, oh, do you still want to do this? Mm-hmm. And for me, that's been like the one thing, like, oh, this is a little scary. Like, this is coming back around. Like, I'm all right. Like, I'm gaining these lessons. I'm having these clear perspectives. But I know, like, it's time to get back to the get back. And so as I'm coming out of it, it's like gearing back up to go back in. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you had that one round where, yo, you got knocked up. And it's like, yo, you ready? You got your water. You got your, you know, eye patch. Mm-hmm. Coach told you, yo, kid, got to make sure you bob and weave. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, y'all got to go back. It's like, well, I, so it's a little scary. It's a little intimidating. Yeah. But, you know, trying to lean into it. You know what I mean? And and realize that
you need to.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, but I'm very grateful. I'm so grateful, man, because, like, these lessons could have took me out. I mean, there's so many people mm-hmm. going through what I've gone through, like, and actually, like I got to feel what it felt like to be a part of the Rock, mm-hmm. you know, and, like, not commit. You know what I mean? Like, there's so many guys who go through, like, what I didn't go through, who have a different tale and a different perspective that I'll never have to fully understand. And I'm grateful for that. Mm. You know, I'm grateful for the lessons that I didn't have to learn as much as the lessons that I am learning now. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This feels good.
Yeah.
Snaps I'm excited to see this unfoldment happen in your life. No, it's going to be really great. We're going to remember this moment. I wanted to ask you a little bit about how you use your healing childhood trauma in your writing and just, like, your inspiration, because you have been through a lot. Your inner child went through a lot, and I guess maybe highlight maybe some things, and can you share a story or something that was very impactful, like, in childhood that, I don't know, kind of dimmed your light for a little bit, and, mm-hmm. you know, you saw polarity in the world, and, you know, how was that? Yeah,
I think, like, my music had always been about, like, motivation and having, like, and also searching for yourself, like, inward, going inward. Like, my first project that really did a lot of splashes was Searching Sylvan. So I was really, like, trying to detail what my life had been up to that point. Mm-hmm. And it was, like, a really hardship story. But at the end, there was, like, hope towards a better, you know, reality. You know, my second project was Far From Familiar, which was exploring and realizing that, you know, things aren't always green. Grass isn't always green on the other side. Apologies in Advance was, like, really about acknowledging you have problems. But the first time I really, like, tapped into, like, polarity and, like, real hard events was, like, Young Sylvan. Mm-hmm. That was the, like, that those EPs were the times where I realized, oh, I have a lot of anger in me. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things that happened to me as a kid that I didn't really acknowledge. There's things that are going on now that I know that I'm really angry about that stem from, like, my experiences as a kid, mm-hmm. and I need to, like, deal with this. That was the first time where I really try to, like, acknowledge that it's really not always about perspective mm-hmm. as much as it's about acknowledgement. Mm-hmm. You know, like, yo, acknowledge how you feel. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, growing up as a kid, man, like, I didn't really have a lot of room to express myself. I didn't have room to have a perspective. And there was, like, a blind loyalty to, like, my mother and, like, my father, mm-hmm. Despite what was going on, you know, there was, like, all these chains, and that, like, closed me up. Like, I was really, like, afraid to connect, especially outside of the people I knew. It was, like, a very, like loyal, like, blind loyalty was, like, instilled upon me.
Tribal.
Man, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, yo, oh my God. Goodness, yeah. You know, and it's so crazy because I'm not like that. Like, I really love people. I'm not, you know what I mean? Like, I like holding conversations and exploring. Mm-hmm. The Young Sylvan side of things was like, okay, like, let's like explore these anger, resentment, you know, fear-based lack, trauma joints that you're going through. Mm-hmm. Especially because, like, I like to live in the light. Like, I'm not even gonna sit here in front. Like, I'm a morning person.
His Venus is in Leo.
I was gonna say, yeah. He's got a Venus in Leo. I heard it come out with that one.
I like living in the light. I like smiles. I like positivity. And it's like, it ain't like that. You know, it's like, you gotta
deserve all of it.
Makes sense why you attracted Sosa into your life.
Yeah, that's my Leo moon.
Yeah.
Vibe.
Absolutely.
Totally vibe.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
When we watch things as adults that we used to watch as kids, we have totally different takeaways.
Yeah.
So what are you taking away from Hey Arnold right now?
Ooh. It's funny enough, because I was watching this Nickelodeon doc for, like, like three times over.
Oh, it just came out, right?
I don't know if it just came out. I'm not sure. It might have. But, but I saw it on Hulu.
Yeah.
It seemed pretty current. So yeah, it might have just came out. And I forgot how much Hey Arnold really meant to me. Mm. Like it'd be something that I would watch reoccurringly. But man, watching it now, it's like there's just so many perspectives on different characters and real life situations that were like detailed beautifully. Like the episodes didn't end with like the light all the time. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it was just like a hard lesson about life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The characters were complex. Like Helga's my favorite because, you know, she's got like this, you know, like true, like surrounded by all these people who just virtually ignore her. So she puts up this shield, but like deep down, she's just a sensitive, poetic soul who can express herself on all these different levels. You know what I mean? Like just afraid to be herself because it's a dangerous world out here. Yes. But like Arnold, who's just, you know, we're not all like Arnold, like he's one of the, you know, million who genuinely wants to kind of just try to see the betterment in life. And then him having to accept certain truths that are hard. Like all these characters were just super complex, but had like, it was just packed with like life. Mm-hmm. And I really enjoy like life in its like rawness, you know, but like with a sense of like, yeah, things will be better, even though they aren't. Mm-hmm. Or even though they are right now, they'll probably be even better, or they could be worse. Mm-hmm. But it's all of it. It's like we're encompassing all of this. Mm-hmm. It's what we're here for. It's a beautiful thing. Like Hey Arnold captures that perfectly for me. The comedy, the sincerity, the sadness, the blahness. Sometimes there's moments in that show where it's just like Arnold having a perspective, laying down and just thinking into the clouds.
Yeah.
And it's just like, he's very introspective.
And it's just a minute and a half of it. And like, it may seem subtle, but it's like, those are the moments that are like
the bread and butter.
Chef's kiss.
Yeah, those are the chef's kiss of it. Yeah.
Absolutely. So yeah, I've been on the bench for it.
Love it. I'm excited to watch it now.
Yeah.
I mean, I did when I was younger, but you know, stuff goes over your head when you're little.
100%. Yeah. 100%. My favorites are Helga and Curly. Curly doesn't get a lot of love, but I love how normal he is, and then he'll just snap, and it's just like, yo, what? And it'll be so simple. It's just being acknowledged for like something that, like, you know, I think there was an episode where like he was supposed to be ball monitor, and they skipped him, and you know, he did all the things that were supposed to like lead him to be ball monitor, and then he snapped and put himself into a joint. And like, you know, start attacking kids with like the balls. And Arnold came in and was like, yo, why don't you just have a conversation with the teacher about the schedule? And it was so like, simple. It was just like
simple bread and butter.
Like, hey, yo.
He's like, yo, communicate.
Exactly, you know? So yeah, absolutely.
Got it.
What does God mean to you, and what has been your healing relationship with God?
For me now, like, I've been like discovering like parent soul and like God being in everything. Mm-hmm. And I think the perspective of knowing that I'll never fully comprehend God has been like really healing for me.
Yeah,
you know, that's been like,
yeah,
oh, thank God.
Yeah, that's a good one.
It's like, oh, thank God. You know what I mean? Like, I came up in the Christian household, and you know, it was very much, you know, like the standards, you know, die, go to heaven, you know, you know, sins and, you know, like that, I never really latched, but it definitely imprinted, you know what I mean? Like all the joy and the fear, you know, very much imprinted on me. And so 2019 was when I started to fully break away from that reality. And there was like a big void for a while. Like I really didn't know what to latch onto because I didn't really understand where my relationship with God at that point. Because before it was just like knees, please, you know, you know, and I'm like, oh, that's not my reality.
Yeah.
And so what is my reality? And I'm not going to say, and you know, say I got it all together, but like, I've been recently understanding that, yeah, I'll never understand, you know, but I do have my truth with like, with my personal God and like my higher self. And, you know, I'm also recently like, understanding the power of like Mother Earth and like Father Son and like really understanding like the support I really get from that. Because before I'd be like, yeah, you know, Earth, you know, the trees, that's beautiful, you know, but but like actually, yeah,
you're like yeah,
like actually,
it really is.
Like in this reality, in this timeline, like Yeah, like it's done wonders for me. Like, yeah. I think the one thing for me now is like my inner child trying to connect more. Mm-hmm. But yeah, understanding that I will never fully understand God, and to just accept the wonder and the magic of it all has been like really healing for me. Mm-hmm. Especially as somebody who's always trying to figure it out.
As Aquarius, a Virgo.
Yeah, Virgo crazy.
Yeah, like, how does this work? Tell me. You know, like,
yes.
The kid with the
what
boards.
Are the instructions?
You know what I mean?
Why you do what you do? Tell me why.
I need to understand this to yeah. move on.
What like, was the reason?
Yeah, literally. Absolutely.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I love that because I think especially as a man and a black man today in society, a yeah. lot of us or a lot of people, I don't want to say everybody, don't take the time to understand the things that you're trying to understand, like these emotions, mm-hmm. these childhood triggers. Like you said, everything's pretty cool on the outside, but for some reason, you mm-hmm. weren't right inside. And yeah. you actually took the time to question that, because a lot of people, they just keep it pushing.
Yeah.
They're like, you tripping, or you're being, and I don't mean this, but you're being gay. Like, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, because men say stuff like that because they think yeah. emotions is like yeah. feminine when it's yeah. like, everyone has emotions. What are you, a robot? Like,
mm-hmm. there is some out there, but yeah,
right? That part. Mm-hmm. That part. So, I just want to know, did you have any other male friends that were in this journey with you? Like, were you supported in this journey? Or were you kind of like on your lonesome? Just because mm-hmm. I feel like this is, that's a important journey that you mm-hmm. went on. So,
funny enough, it's a couple people. So my man Noah, who's been, man, he's been with me since like 2009.
Shout out to Noah.
Yeah, man, Noah's my, I know you, Yeah, man. You guys, yeah, absolutely. 100%. That's my guy. He's always with me, like 24/7, man. Kind of like a oracle of some sorts to me. You know, he's always been that. He's always been that. You love know, that. You are the one, Neo. Yeah. It's like, well, what does it mean? Yeah. I know.
What you mean?
I gotta
one.
Get out of here. It's like, you know, right?
That's how Shiku is to me.
Yeah, it's like, you yo, come yeah. on. Yeah, like, yeah, just
stop looking at me. Stop seeing me.
Yeah, literally. But like him and then my boy Ro Ransom, who I've known since I was like 18. He's a rapper as well. Mm-hmm. Like he started experiencing like, we marry each other in a lot of ways. He started experiencing his like awakening and like truly understanding like coming his dark night of the soul coming out on the other side of things around the same time. So we really had like a brotherhood and just understanding like, yo, there's certain things that we have to let go of, like certain like things we like our diet all around, like that mm-hmm. we can't pay attention to, like mm-hmm. just like realizing a lot of those things and bonding over like having to let it go. And then also like celebrating when we had to embrace certain things. Yes. He's been like a real good, like my dude, yeah. you know what I mean?
It's a good support system.
Absolutely. Yeah. So it's, I mean, on those two guys have definitely been the best. And then just meeting people all around, you know, gravitating towards, but you know, my inner, I also have like, you know, my boys, my inner circle, which is like, they not on that. It's just like, mm-hmm. they at where they at. And it's like, all right, respect bro. Like you still my dudes, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
How has intimacy been for you mm-hmm. with the discovery of just yourself and the universe and God?
Yeah.
With women or yeah. whatever your
absolutely, is, whatever absolutely. Your so with friendships, man, there's so many different. All right, let's start. So when it comes down, to like people I do know, I realize like there's a certain loyalty I don't need to have all the time.
Oh, okay.
Because I've always like. There's been a certain, like, I'm notorious for, like, self-sacrificing. Mm. I'll put the whole tribe in front of me and be like, it is what it is. And then I'll hold resentment. Mm. And it's just like, yo, bro, like, there's got to be, like, some type of boundary with the people you love. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? There's got to be some type of understanding mm-hmm. of, like, yo, you first. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Then when it comes to people I don't know, I have to stop being afraid. Mm. I have like a real fear of like people I don't know. Like I could put on the mask, be like, "Yo, what's up?" You know, because like as an artist, like I understand that mm-hmm. game, mm-hmm. but like innately, like there's a block, mm-hmm. and I'm realizing like, yo, I can't be that way with every person I don't know. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I'm mm-hmm. so grateful for the people that I have met that I didn't know that we clicked. Mm-hmm. You know, but it's like it's not gonna be like that every time. You know, and you can't block yourself off from like great. Friendships, great relationships in that aspect. Mm-hmm. When it comes down to like women, my mother, mm-hmm. direct correlation, even when it comes down to taking care of a woman and like the resistance that I've had with that, because my mother was very much like domineering, like, you do whatever it is that I say you do. I don't care what's going on.
You repeated that
any given point. And it was like, I didn't realize how much resentment I had with that. I didn't realize how much like tug of war I had with taking care of a woman and what it takes. And I'm learning that, like, I'm really learning what that intakes, like, every day, getting, like, trying to get past triggers of, you know what I mean? Like, I've had, you know, there's somebody, like, in my life that's, like, that I'm, like, with, but not, you know what I mean? And we went through, like, a real breakup because of my bullshit. Like, just because, like, I couldn't stick through it and, like, acknowledge what she needed. You know what I mean? And I'm, like, trying to pick up those pieces now. Be like, all right, like, let's start from scratch again and try to get to that place. But like, yeah, like my relationship with intimacy, like on all barriers, it's been like, hey, like, let's scale back this. Let's open this up more and let's explore more of this. And also like acceptance, like with my father and my mother, like when I started experiencing like situations like with women, I had to go back to my mother. And then I had to realize quickly that I have to accept what happened with me and my mother, and that we may not be in a position to go back to that place and accept her for who she is and accept her now, and like forgive myself in that space and also forgive herself in that space and move on, cut the cord. Same thing with my father. Like like around the time when me and you spoke, like I hadn't spoke to my father in like a year. Like, I was like, yo, man, just rap, you know? Like, I'm not about to do this. But I was holding on to your expectation of what he was supposed to be for me as a man. And which was blocking me for understanding what I need to be for myself as a man. So I had to really accept him and be like, all right, bro, like, you are who you are and you're at where you're at. And I'm okay regardless of what has happened. So why should I still hold on to that? You know, why can't I explore what's going on beyond that? That's a long-winded question, but I swear that's been like, that's been like a real focal point in this journey. It's like my relationships all across the board have been like radically like challenged. Ooh, that was a lot.
I know. I have a follow-up question, but I don't want to ask all the questions.
Well, I was reading. I don't know if honestly I can't remember now if I was reading or if I heard it. From one of the therapists that I like to, you know, hear what they have to say. And they're talking about how, like, whenever you start to get really upset, you always revert back to that age in life that you first experienced, like, that particular feeling or that particular, like, trauma. So it's like, let's say you're fighting with the person that you are, like, dating or in a relationship with. You instantly revert back to that age.
My ears are ringing.
Yeah, so I'm wondering, like, can you pinpoint or do you even know, like, what age you kind of revert back to when you hit those moments?
Absolutely.
And, like, what happened?
Absolutely. 16. It's like a big pivotal point. Like a big pivotal point.
Tell us.
Because that was around the time where I like, really disassociated from, like, my mother. You know, like, I didn't really grow up with my mother. So we lived like with my aunt or whatnot, and she was always working. So I, from the beginning, I learned how to adapt to like spaces that weren't mine, you know, and I kind of ignored like what I needed because I didn't really know what I needed. I just knew that this is where I'm at. And so when I finally got the chance to like grow up with my mother around that time, like 16 was the time where I was like, oh, I really don't rock with my mom. It was also the time where I was like, oh, my dad really ain't everything that I thought he was supposed to be. It was like a real visceral. And I just shunned. I just went into like, I got it cold.
Survival mode.
Cold. Like cold, cold, cold. Like it was, you know what I mean? Like I had a time where like, I think my mother, I don't know what was going on, but I was trying to have like a moment with her. And like, something happened and I was trying to express how like something felt to me, and I was crying and she was laughing. And that's when I was like, that I was like, I was embarrassed. And I was like, oh, we good. We straight. Like, You know what I mean? I have to fight that every time I want to get to that place, especially like when I'm in a relationship or when I'm with like friends, like when me and friends have fallouts and we have like these disagreements or I feel embarrassed or I feel a certain way, I have to really fight that trigger to be like, oh, we good. You know, like it's not good, bro. Not good. Like that, but that shit's still in me. Yeah. You know what I mean? I have to realize like that shit is in you and you carry that. And you need to work on that.
Yeah. Yes.
So definitely 16, 15, mm-hmm. for sure. Up until that point, I was definitely like trying a lot. Mm-hmm. So I don't, I'm innately like a positive person. I'm innately going to try to look on the brighter side of things. Mm-hmm. But around that time, I stopped. It was like, all right, we good. Like, mm-hmm. I'm going this way.
You're probably going to go through another healing around 34 because I'm noticing that like you have epiphanies about yourself around age seven you got into music, 16 adds up to seven, you realize certain things that need to be let go. I don't know what the healing will be for you in 34, but you're probably going to go through another one that's going to keep
every 7
years.
Well, we change our, I think it's like our body like naturally changes every 7 years.
Oh yeah,
like
yeah.
physically, but I also think that's also like a emotional, physical, and spiritual shift that happens.
Our cells regenerate, our hair is different, our skin is different all over again.
Well, you already experienced your Saturn return. Do you know when your Saturn return is?
I think it was 28.
Yeah, 29. What happened around 28, 29?
Oh, the rock thing.
Oh, the rock!
Oh, that was your Saturn return.
Damn, that was a big one.
But I think that all happened for the better. I feel like you really did choose yourself, even though you really didn't understand it. And I feel like that's like the whole point of sharing your story is that like there were so many things that you just didn't know where it was going to go, but you had a gut feeling and you had to follow that gut feeling no matter like how juicy these things looked. Like, so tempting. Oh, it's so tempting.
Oh my goodness. Yes. It was, there's been like, that wasn't the first time. Like, you know, I like my initial start was with Logic. Mm. You know, like I toured like the world with him.
Oh wow.
You know, like early on before he dropped his first project. Mm-hmm. I was going by Quest. Mm-hmm. And we were getting ready to like, you know, really move forward with it. And I was like, nah, this doesn't feel right. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't understand why. And you know, I consulted with my boy Noah and he was like, he told me the real about how I felt and I prayed to God and I made a move and nobody agreed with me. You know, and it was real. Like, and so when the rock thing happened, I was really like, yo, fam, like, now? Like, right now?
Yeah.
Like, this is it, fam. Yeah. You know, it just, that was a wild one for me. But I'm so like, you know, I look at so many of like my peers and I look at so many artists in the industry too, man. And it's like, there's so many stories that will never get told. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? There's so many stories that like people just don't even think are relevant because they're like constantly getting all this reaffirmation of, oh, but you're doing so well. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like you feel like a prison to your own success. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, you're doing so well. You're doing so good. Look at your life. You know what I mean? Like, you know, Kanye's a wild boy, but it's like, yeah, I feel you. Like, yeah, because it's like you're going through like real understandings and real like mm-hmm. perspectives in real time in front of everybody and you're so successful. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like I feel you, bro. You know what I mean? That's why I always say I'm so grateful that like I didn't have to go through so many lessons, you know, that I could have had to go through. Mm-hmm. It could have been real crazy for the kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like I see it. Yeah. I see it every day.
I feel like social media does that, and I think you do a good job of like kind of cutting down how much people tap into your energy through social media.
Yeah,
because like people really do think that they know you through social media because like of what you post. And I've been in so many fucking situations when people really get to know me, they're afraid of me. They're just like they don't know what to do with me, or they call me violent, and
they're like, "You're love quantum soul? Damn, that's you."
That part, but and I like you do a great job of like managing how much of that energy comes into your field with social media.
My fans think they know me from my music already. Like they really are like, it's funny because it's like, you know, I manifested that. Like I'm not gonna say in front. Like I wanted that. I wanted people to feel like they knew me through my music. Yeah. So it's one of the things that comes with it. It's like, yeah, they think they already know me. So like you know, I'm trying to shift my perspective too on social media, because I'm like, yo, it's a business, it's a game. So I'm like, all right, yes. I have to get out of like my, I got to get out of my own way and find my own boundary, you know what I mean? And stop allowing my emotions to like, you know, dictate what happens, you know? So that's been like a thing for me too. It's like doing what needs to be done regardless of how I feel. You know, there's certain things, there's certain feelings that are like, yes. But then there's certain things where it's just like, bro, look. You know, like, it's like, yeah, it's like, bro, look, like, I'm sorry. Like, this is, you know what I mean? You know, like, too much. I'm not going to say too much. Let me not lean into that. But, like, I really have started to understand. Because I don't want to, like, put a cap on what I can and can't perceive or get. But I've really started to understand that my freedom really does come with a responsibility. Like, I got to have some type of, like,
discipline,
you know, even with the freedom that I do have, you know, and challenging my perspective on that too. So, yeah, absolutely.
You're so mature.
Amen.
You've done a lot of work.
Yeah,
so much more to do, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Join the club.
it never stops.
Yeah, it never fucking stops.
Yeah.
That's how it's like. On to the next. We'll never figure it out. I think we'll never understand really God because we can't
really
label
God. Yeah, that gave me goosebumps.
Yeah,
I think people need to
understand that, because people spend their whole lives like getting turned and twisted over this. Like, oh, I want to understand. Like, maybe your job is to not understand. Like, maybe that's what you're here for, just to like let it be. And like, I love your story of surrendering, man. That's beautiful, because as a Virgo, I feel you completely. You have this, I feel like I'm going through the same thing right now. Like, we have like these plans for ourselves, and when things don't go according to plan, we're like, well, what the
fuck
are we supposed to do?
Man.
We go crazy.
Man. Yes. Plans make me feel so cuddly inside.
You said plans?
Yes. They just make me feel so great.
You're right next to the friend right here, too.
Yeah. Yes.
I am.
Plans make me feel so warm and secure. It's like, it's like, oh yeah, let's take that block out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's life, man.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
If you could work with anybody now, who would you want to work with, like, musically?
Christopher Martin, for sure. Ooh. I love to like songwrite with Christopher Martin, and like, I'd like for him to be like my guru and like piano.
I was gonna say he would be a bomb like collab. I can see it.
Yeah, I love to just be a fly on the wall and a servant, being like, hey, like, because I'm such a fan. You know what I mean? I've been such a fan of like their work that I'd like to like contribute in any way that I can. I think musically, Kanye too. I like to be a fly on the wall servant, you know, just in a room. What can I lend? What kind of, you know, just because like sonically, I'm very much a fan of his ear. He knows what time it is. And like, I wouldn't put up with a lot of stuff, but I would definitely pull up with a lot of stuff to like understand Kanye's process musically.
Yeah, it's quite a process.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a wild Gemini. I don't know.
Yeah,
he's a boy.
Like, for real. Like, not in a sense of a kid, but like he's like one of them boys. Like, it's like, yo, he's one of them ones. And like, I understand that comes a lot with it. And I know I can go to a place where I'm just like, bro, that don't even affect me. Like, what needs to get done? You know, because I know what I'm gonna learn. Yeah. So I'm here to get my gems and do what I need to do. So whatever I got to go through to get these gems I need to get, whatever, bro. Like, I don't know you.
You know what I'm saying?
You got to walk and get the cheesecake. No,
oh, my God. I watch that from time to time just to laugh, you know. Good times. But, yeah, definitely, I'd love to work with Common. I love to produce for Common. I'd love to just get on the boards and be like, yo, this is what I want you to rap on.
Yeah, that'd be fine.
Yeah, man. He's like the grandfather to me, man. He's gonna give me everything I need after every album. Yeah, man, those would probably be like my like top three. And then, you know, and then Drake, because I really appreciate Drake's songwriting. I think Drake is an incredible songwriter. You know what I mean? Like, I understand. But like, at his essence, it's like, yo, 10 years, you doing what you doing. Like, I fully respect like your pen. And I'd like to learn from him too, like, just in terms of like where he goes and like what I can pick up and take and where I can take that. Musically, those would kind of be like off the top. I'm pretty sure there's so much more. But
yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being here and telling your story. Yes.
Thank you guys for having me.
This is an amazing episode.
Yeah.
This is definitely one we're going to remember.
Yeah.
When you hit the big leagues.
Yeah.
Thank you.
He's already doing it,
yeah,
though.
You're already in there. And you continue to grow. And may we all continue to grow. But thank you to everybody that's watching us on YouTube. Thank you to everybody that's listening on all of our audio platforms, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Podchaser, Overcast, all the things. Please go follow and check out Sylvan on YouTube, Apple Music, Spotify. Are you on SoundCloud as well?
I am on SoundCloud.
SoundCloud.
Yeah.
And then it's going to be Sylvan LaCroix, right?
LaCroix.
Let me come correct. Sylvan LaCroix.
I want the French accent, though.
Sylvan LaCroix. Okay. Pierre LaCroix. Okay. So we'll have him linked in the description. You know what I mean? Please look up my boy. He's awesome. Hey. He's really out here doing the work.
For real? He really is.
Okay.
And
setting
his music videos.
Yes, music videos are amazing.
Shout out to Jonathan Beneventi, man. He's supposed to be holding it down.
Yeah, you know shout out to everybody he needs to shout out because you guys led us to an amazing human. That's so thank you again.
What's up, man? Really does. Thank you.
Thank you again.
Thank you guys.
Have a good one, guys. Bye.